16th of a mile left. Dare to try. Dare to try from House Wrecker, then Bath, then Tennis. I Love You is fourth. Dare to try. And Forest Boys to win.
Races, powered by The Racing Biz, your independent voice for racing and breeding in the Mid-Atlantic. On the web at theracingbiz.com. On the radio, on ESPN Richmond, it's Off to the Races. Here's Nick Hahn.
Happy 4th of July weekend, everybody. Listening to the genius here, the father of soul. Is there anything better? Oh, I could listen to that. What a wonderful week of racing. Thanks for joining us on Off to the Races. You heard in the opening, Dare to Try. Just kind of got my juices flowing about the live meet at Colonial Downs. We are just 9 days away. Next Saturday, live from Colonial Downs for Off to the Races, by the way. Dare to Try, winning that race at Laurel yesterday for Patrick Noosh, a horse I've seen around Charlottesville here this spring. And just kind of think, as the meet's awakening at Colonial Downs, preparations being made. We got Daryl Wood here in just a few minutes. Larry Bravelli, a trainer, new trainer, showing up from Arlington Park at Colonial Downs this summer. We'll speak to him in about 15 minutes. We got Frank Vespi speaking with Chris Sobosinski. Delaware Park has a big day of racing today. Of course, Derby Bill will help us handicap racing from Churchill Downs, racing from Delaware, maybe a little bit of New York. See what else he brings to the show this morning in the final furlong of the show. But yeah, let's play a little bit of that race call. Patrick Noosh had in this race Dare to Try, and it's just exciting to see this horse win. When you get a winner like that, nice payout. Noosh, of course, a big supporter of the meet at Colonial Downs. You just kind of think he might be sitting on something here. Dave Rodman has the call of Dare to Try's win yesterday.
At top of the stretch, and it's House Wrecker punching on to a narrow lead. House Wrecker, Dare to Try, leveling off on the outside with a run. Bath and Tennis pitching in late. In between horses in the final furlong, Bath and Tennis going to dive down toward the inside. About a 16th of a mile left. Dare to Try. Dare to Try from House Wrecker, then Bath and Tennis. I Love You is fourth. Dare to Try, and Forest Boys to win from House Wrecker.
Yeah, just at Forest Boys, of course, we'll be riding at Colonial Downs this summer as well. But, nice to hear that win. Congratulations. He had Pie Killer. Actually, that horse was claimed teaming up with Debbie Easter here recently to get a win at Laurel. Dare to Try. Not up for claim this time. And congratulations to Patrick Noosh, Crezet trainer, getting that win yesterday. Good to see. Last week, it was the Ohio Derby as we were off to the races. Took a little bit of a break here before getting into the throes of the meet at Colonial Downs, sponsored by Woodford Reserve. And the Ohio Derby had a field of seven. Ethereal Road, trained by Dwayne Lucas, came into the Ohio Derby. White Aberio was a horse that won the Florida Derby. Classic Causeway for Ken McPeak. And Tawny Port was actually the favorite on the race. I didn't even see how that happened, but let's hear the call of last week's Ohio Derby.
Top of the stretch, and Tawny Port calling for the lead. White Aberio trying to go with him. Classic Causeway is third. Then it's Ethereal Road in fourth. One furlong to go, and Tawny Port has the advantage. White Aberio not giving up. Classic Causeway still game. A final 16th to go, and it's Tawny Port with the lead. White Aberio right there second. Tawny Port wins the Ohio Derby.
Yeah, missed that one. Tawny Port with an impressive win. Without Googling, where did Tawny Port finish in the Kentucky Derby? Anybody know? Seventh. Not a bad performance for Tawny Point. And now comes off to Lexington, seventh in the Kentucky Derby, now wins the Ohio Derby. So promising second half of his three-year-old career awaits. Rad Ortiz, the winning jockey there, delivering the win for Peachtree Stables and Brad Cox. Bringing in Daryl Wood here on Off to the Races this morning. Daryl's been spending a lot of time out at Colonial Downs, and part of the preparations and watching some of the preparations, sharing some feeds on VirginiaHorseRacing.com as they set the rail and as horses arrive. Daryl, good morning. Daryl? We're going to try Daryl here one more time. Woodbury Payne actually brought the first horse to the track, Abstract Moment, with Dustin Morris aboard, was the first horse to hit the track. And I want to say it was one of Larry Ravelli's horses who we're going to talk to here in about 10 minutes or so. Like a Salt Shaker was the first one to hit the backstretch. The backstretch just completely full. And then the T-shirts, of course, await people on opening day 9 days from now. And Daryl, we've had a lot of different promotions at Colonial Downs. One of the ones that is really popular is the Secretariat T-shirt, rapidly becoming tradition at Colonial Downs for opening day.
Hello?
How are the preparations for the meet, Daryl?
Hello?
Daryl, apparently cannot hear me on Off to the Races. We'll work on that a little bit here, but T-shirts awaiting opening day. The Pick 5 is going to be a feature this year, the 12% takeout with the carryover for the Pick 5, a new feature to Colonial Downs. By the way, Virginia Derby Day, September 6th, all of the races at Colonial Downs will be on TVG, but the $300,000 Virginia Derby will be September 6th on a Tuesday. Opening day at Colonial Downs does have four stakes races, including a lot of these stakes races are now $125,000, moving up from $50,000 to $60,000. So they've just been inching up here, and we got the Punchline, the Brookmead, the Evans, and the Tyson Gilpin. All on opening day. Nominations, you can actually look up some of the nominations now. And you have like the 2019 winner, Boldar, is nominated, looking to maybe come back in the Punchline Stakes. Horses like Braxton for Karen Dennehy DeFrancis, Embolden with a Trombetta, For Love of Country, Passion Play, who has won the Bird Allen and the Evans nominated. A lot of these horses are nominated for a variety of different races, but Chess Chief, Virginia Horse of the Year, nominated for the Edward P. Evans. That's going a mile for three-year-olds and upwards. And then, you know, looking on the female side, you have the Brookmead, which has like Fine Bar. I see Carla Morgan has a couple horses nominated, at least three, including Heartlight, who's promising an urban fairy tale coming back, looks like, for the Brookmead. Also, the Tyson Gilpin Stakes has Tea in China, another Eagle Point farm there in Ashland, and Strands of Pearls nominated, Brittany Russell nominating there. By the way, we just saw, too, Sheldon Russell this week won his first race in 9 months. He's been out of racing, just sort of had a tough go with his foot and then breaking his collarbone, doing some exercise riding as he was doing rehab for his foot. So, and been on the racetrack now at 30. Sheldon Russell has been around a long time. It seems like he's just, it's hard to believe he's 34. To me, he seems like he's 50. He's just been around forever. But Heldish was his winner this week. So welcome back to the winner's circle, Sheldon Russell. Racing today across the country, big day at Delaware. We mentioned earlier, still working on Daryl here, but okay, we're going to actually just couldn't make the wires connect here for Daryl Wood this morning. So we'll just catch up with them next week, but it's been busy down at Colonial Downs as they make preparations. 820 stalls on the backstretch all appear to be spoken for. So influx of Arlington trainers is we'll speak to Larry Rebelli here shortly, and he's among the group that includes Chris Block and Mike Campbell, who are bringing their barns. Of course, Arlington Park closing is part of the redevelopment of the Chicago Bears Stadium effort and the sale that happened last year. So with Arlington Park closing, a number of trainers have come and or come back, as Michael Campbell's case is, to Colonial Downs. So looking forward to see an interesting wrinkle to the meet there. The Delaware Oaks today, John and Diane Fradkin are up in Newark, Delaware, as well as Frank Vespi, for that fact, when we speak to him here in about 15 minutes or so. Republic is going for her third win in as many starts, winning two races down at Gulfstream, now trying grade three company in the Delaware Oaks. The first got the number one post here and looks like to be second choice in the morning line. Shotgun Hottie with Trevor McCarthy aboard, getting the favoritism there. But, the Fradkins, just interesting. A group that's as big as Patrick Neuse, who we heard in the opening. And they come and win the Preakness and, very small outfit out in California. And now they're coming back to race with Republic. So looking forward to that. But as we move forward here on Off to the Races, we just spoke about some of the Arlington trainers that'll be coming to Colonial Downs. And we have Larry Rebelli on the phone, who joins us now on Off to the Races. Good morning, Larry. And yeah, just a little issue here with the phones on Off to the Races this morning. But yeah, we have Larry has trained a number of grade three winners, mainly at Arlington Park, just a trainer that was he was like the Ferris Allen or Ham Smith or of Ellis Park. Of Arlington Park. And a lot of his career wins happened there. Nicole's Dream has been his most successful horse, but he's had grade three winners like Jean Elizabeth and Busy Channel, Cocked and Loaded and the Tabulator. Larry Rebelli has a number of grade three winners and certainly is going to have a number of stables at a number of stalls at Colonial Downs this summer. Weather today for some of the racing across the country. Let's maybe, while we're working on that, just take a look at racing that's happening across the country today. Today is absolutely the peak day. Hopefully the weather will hold out, but the racing today is the prime day for the weekend. You have at Churchill Downs, the Kentucky Derby winner in 2021, the horse that actually got awarded the Kentucky Derby with the disqualification of Medina Spirit. Mandaloon returns today at Churchill Downs to race in the Stephen Foster. They have six stakes races at Churchill Downs, including the Wise Dan, the aforementioned Stephen Foster, and the Fleur de Lis. Up at Delaware Park, an interesting race with the Dwyer. See if I can put my hands on that quickly. That has Life is Good as the solid favorite in it, but a couple of interesting horses. Repo Rocks is a Virginia bred by Mrs. Islin, who is now deceased. But Repo Rocks, a horse that won Virginia Breeders Awards, is running at Belmont Park today in the John Nayrud. Also, War Toxin is also in that group. This is a horse that was bred in Orange County by the Orange County outfit, Hare Forest Farm. So a couple of local interested challengers going up against the giant Life Is Good, trained by Todd Pletcher there. That horse coming off a fourth place finish in the World Cup. Speaker's Corner is also in that race. So that race actually a little early, 2:34 today. And then the Dwyer, which features Charge It at 4-5. Todd Pletcher with John Velasquez, that's who he'll give a leg up to in the Dwyer today, grade 3, a mile on the dirt. Small field there as well, just 6 horses there. Weather across the country is a little shaky. High 80s pretty much in all of the prime racing venues for today. Louisville, Delaware for the Delaware Oaks, rather. New York, Miami, Gulfstream has 2 big races. And then we have Laurel with 2 big stakes races. And we're going to reach out to Larry here one more time. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for joining us on Off to the Races this morning. A little shaky start for us coming off the layoff, but I'm sure your horses actually love that. You're coming in the Colonial Downs, kind of a new, we'll use the term, new shooter at Colonial Downs as a state that has lost its track before. We kind of know what it feels like. Fortunately, we were to have racing return back in 2019 with the sale of Colonial Downs. But you're going to it certainly must be tough not spending time at Arlington this summer, but we certainly welcome you here to Virginia. Give us your thoughts about coming to Colonial.
Well, yeah, it'd be something new for me, obviously, first year. I believe I may have raced there once back before it shut down a while ago, but never really set up shop. Set up shop there, and definitely a with Arlington being closed, that's a major setback for me. That's my home. I've been 9 years running, leading trainer there, so it's something that wasn't, you know, well received by anybody around town, but it is what it is, and we got to move forward, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that absolutely is the case there with Arlington. But, you know, coming to, you know, there have been a lot of close ties between when we talked about this at great length when Arlington's fate was in question. The ties between Colonial, the Grand Slam of Grass, the emphasis on turf racing that exists there, and coming to Virginia with Chris Block and Mike Campbell, who was head of the Horsemen's Association at one point. You know, I guess Colonial did seem to be a good fit with the priorities and the track condition being what it is and the emphasis on track safety. I guess Colonial wasn't really a hard choice for you when you started looking for venues to race in over the summer. Larry?
Oh, you went out. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Sorry about that.
I got you. I got you now.
Okay. But
your
yeah.
question was, I apologize. It was breaking up.
No, that's okay. You know, just Colonial seems to be a good alternative for Arlington Park. You know,
oh, yeah.
What helped you with that decision?
The dates, we usually go to Hawthorne on the other side of town, which is now in the process of building a casino, and their dates were split up this year due to Arlington being down. So there's a 2.5 month gap. And Mike Campbell and a little help from Dave Zenner, who's also working there in the office, recruited me and thought it might be a good fit for me. And I kind of agreed. I looked at a bunch of different options. I was going to go to Kentucky, and I've been there before and will be there again. Just kind of thought we'd try something new. It's a little farther away from me, but excited about it. The track is fantastic shape, and from what I've heard, nothing but good things. So I'm excited to to go down there and give it a shot.
Who are some of the horses that in your stable bringing down here that you're just like, man, I can't wait till this horse hits the track. I can't wait for this horse to start. You know, who might you even have like in perhaps some of the stakes races as nominated horses or opening day?
Two-year-olds this year, and two 3-year olds, a horse called No Balls and a horse called One Timer, a 2-year old filly that won first time out back to Ohio. Believe it or not, it's an Ohio bred, but I really don't think she realizes where she was born. So, and a couple maidens that haven't run yet. And just like some turf horses, Richie's Great Girl, who's pretty good in Gulfstream this year, won at Keeneland, sprinting on the turf. Like I said, One Timer who ran in the Breeders' Cup last year, he's coming back. I'm going to run him, try him on the dirt August 1st as a stake at Colonial 7/8 on the dirt. So we've been wanting to run him on the dirt, and this race should be picture perfect for him. So that's our plan, along with, you know, I have a bunch of horses that are, you know, claiming horses, the condition horses, and a bunch of unraced 2-year-olds that are going to run, which is good. The Colonial seems to be, at least in the book, hopefully the races go, they've got every category, you know, 25, 50, maiden special, long, short, dirt, turf. So I think I've got one for every category with the young horses. So it should be a good fit if we can get the races to go. Really not sure how it's going to go with this whole HISA thing going on, but hopefully they work through it and get it done.
We're going to talk a little bit about HISA a little bit later in the show, but how has that gone for you? This is your first meet. They suspended it a day here in terms of the registrations, but are you set to go? Everybody registered, you know, ready for the start of the meet?
Yes, I'm all set, so to say. I think that and all my owners are as well. As far as what's going to happen going further, I don't know. Hopefully it's, from what I've heard is people that are registered and owners that are registered at other tracks, when you enter, I guess a red flag pops up if something's not, you know, one T is not crossed or I is dotted. And I believe the racing offices are, you know, accepting your entry regardless, realizing that there's probably some glitches in the system. And we enter so far in advance nowadays, 4, 5, 6 days, that hopefully it could be worked out, you know, by the time the race comes. Because I think if they didn't accept entries on every red flag that's going to pop up at the beginning of this, they probably wouldn't have any races anywhere. So I think they're realizing that. So hopefully it's just some growing pains.
Yeah, hopefully just some implementation ills that will get cured before opening day. The with the purse money at Colonial Downs, a lot of these stakes races, $125,000, over $600,000 in average daily purses. I mean, that's pretty nice prize money to be seeking. It must have been a factor in your decision to choose Colonial this summer.
Yes, I mean, that's fantastic. The major purse boost is going to be good for the track, I'm sure. You're getting the East Coast guys to come, probably getting, you know, bigger outfits showing up as well. Obviously that plays a part. I'm a pretty realistic guy, and I've done well by placing my horses in spots where they need to run. So sometimes you run for the money you need to run to win, you know what I mean? Whether it's big or small. But I think with the purse hike, it was an attraction for me instead of going other venues. Plus, you know, like Mike Campbell's from Illinois, Chris Block's from Illinois. I've known Allison, the racing secretary, for a real long time. Dave Zenner's from Chicago. So, you know, a little bit of a comfort level, a lot of moving parts and moving, you know, 60, 70 horse operation from, you know, 13 hours across the state. And they've all been very helpful and made the transition pretty easy, which is nice.
You mentioned Dave and Mike and Allison. Is this your first time in Virginia? Have you been in Virginia before, Richmond?
Yeah, nope. First time.
Have they given you any guidance in terms of restaurants or places to go or things
no.
to do?
My cruise ship in the other day, and I'm flying out on the 5th, so I'll be there on July 5th, and I'm hoping I get some guidance. And if you have any of the, I would be willing to listen. My help says, you know, there's really not much around there now, and I'm staying in Richmond. I have a place that we rented in Richmond for a couple months, so I'm actually not familiar with any of the area, or I'm going in first time.
Well, Larry, we can work on that, and we'll get some ideas together. Derby Bill, I'm sure, will stay tuned. He'll have some thoughts on that, I'm sure, as well. But, Larry, good luck coming to Virginia. We welcome you to Colonial Downs. We're sorry about the part of the reason you are here, but we're absolutely thrilled that you're coming here, and looking forward to a very positive meet with your horses. So good luck and wish you well here at Colonial Downs.
Great guys. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And we'll be in touch. Call me anytime. Thank you.
Absolutely. I'll reach out to you next week when we broadcast live at Colonial Downs. Larry Ravelli bringing a stable, large stable of horses to Colonial Downs this summer. Just more competition for those full fields that we usually get at Colonial Downs. Year after year, Colonial features the biggest fields in horse racing, many times averaging over double digits in the number of starters. We're going to go to break here on Off to the Races. When we come back on the other side, Frank Vespi will be living the dream with Chris Sobosinski. We'll talk a little bit about racing at Delaware Park. We'll get caught up a little bit on that HISA thing. Glenn Fry tells us it's better in the USA, taking us into break on this Saturday edition of Off to the Races.
Mark your calendars for the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks to be run once again on the same night, Friday, August 26th. This spectacular card features 7 stakes races worth over $2.4 million in purses. A special first post time is scheduled for 5 o'clock Eastern under the Friday night lights. Live racing moves back to a Thursday through Saturday schedule starting in June with first post at 7 p.m. Eastern. So be sure to join us this summer for the best racing West Virginia has to offer here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
The leading sire of PA-bred two-year-old winners in 2021. Peace and Justice is the hottest young sire in Pennsylvania. Recently, the PHBA announced even more incentives, making now the time to breed and race in Pennsylvania. This year, over $600,000 in purses will be offered with the first-ever Pennsylvania 2-Year-Old Stallion Series. Call today and book your mare to Peace and Justice, the only son of Warfront standing in Pennsylvania. Learn more at peaceandjusticepa.com.
Champion Gunrunners, Full Brother Fortune Ticket, and the regally bred Group 1 winner Long River are just two of the exciting young stallions standing at Maryland's Anchor and Hope Farm. In his first year at stud, Fortune Ticket figures to be a hot commodity, standing for a fraction of the price of his big brother. And Long River's first runner should hit the track this year. Also at Anchor and Hope are leading regional stallions like Holy Boss, Editorial, Bourbon Courage, and Imagining. Anchor and Hope Farm, bringing the best to the Mid-Atlantic. Learn more at anchorhopefarm.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Frank Vespi here, Off to the Races Radio on July 2. Happy Independence Day and happy Canada Day to our friends north of the border. Today is also the day of the Grade 3 Delaware Oaks. Grade 3 Kent Stakes, both at Delaware Park, 4 stakes card there. And we're going to bring in Delaware Park's Chris Sobosinski here to talk about that card. And also I want to say lots of stuff on the racingbiz.com about Delaware Oaks, the Kent, all the other races on the card, handicapping, free handicapping contests, picks and analysis. So lots of stuff. If you're following the Delaware races, you need to be following the Racing Biz. And let's bring in Chris Sobosinski. Chris, welcome to the program. Good morning.
Frank, thank you for having me. It's a pleasant day so far. I'm optimistic we're going to have a nice day and get all our races in and have a firm turf course and a fast main track.
Well, that was going to be the first question. So we're looking at Fast and Firm at the moment at Delaware.
Yeah, I was a little bit worried last night. On the way out after the last race, we had a pretty big shower. But it came and went really quickly. So I'm guessing that all it probably did was just put a little bit of moisture on everything, and it dried up real quick.
Well, as Derby Bill Watson likes to say, Mother Nature not invited till later in the day. So hopefully she can keep the rain away. It's it. Go ahead.
And that reminds me of another racing industry legend, Rich Glaser. It never rains on Saturday at Delaware Park.
It never rains on Saturday. Strange things, Delaware Oaks and Delaware Handicap without Rich Glaser, the great longtime racing analyst at Delaware Park. Chris, let's jump into the Delaware Oaks.
It's hard to go through days like this without thinking about them.
No, Rich was the best, no question. I wonder who Bungie, his toy horse, would have in the Delaware Oaks. But let's ask you what you think about the Delaware Oaks here. Pretty interesting and pretty evenly matched group of horses. Grade 3 mile and a 16th, two turns, $300,000 for three-year-old fillies. And talk to me about the Delaware Oaks. How do you see this race playing out?
This race is amazing. It's got something for every handicapper, it seems like. You got Safi's horse coming in from Gulfstream Park. He's unbeaten after two really nice efforts on Tapita. You got Shotgun Hottie, who has switched over to trainer Moray and is graded stakes placed. You got a couple of up-and-coming horses in Chardonnay, trained by Michael Stidham, and Unadulterated and Brittany Russell. You got Sandstone, who's trying to find her two-year-old form again after two lackluster efforts as a three-year-old. And you got the horse with the most experience, Morning Matcha, trained by Robert Reed, who won the race in 2020, and owned by Cassius King and LC Racing and Gary Barber. And LC Racing and Cassius King won the race in 2020 with Project Whiskey, and Cassius King won it in 2019 with Jaywalk. And Chuck Zackney from Cassius King won the race, I think, in 2005 with Mooncatcher with trainer Tim Ritchie. So it's got something for everybody. It's got storylines all over the place. It's a really interesting race. But I'm going to go with the horse that's greatest stakes place, Shotgun Hottie. It seems like to me her speed figures are steadily getting better. She's had a break, which was part of the plan. She's got experience. She's getting Trevor McCarthy. He knows this track really well. So that's going to be my top pick in the Delaware Oaks.
Well, you know, what you just said absolutely proves your point here that this race has something for everyone, because the horse I like on top is a horse you didn't mention at all, and that's Midnight Stroll, the John Terranova trainee. This horse came into the Black-Eyed Susan last time in good form, although it was a long shot and deservedly so, got knocked absolutely sideways through the first turn, ended up widest of all, made a little middle move, and then emptied out, understandably, against kind of a better group. And I think this horse bounces back and runs a good race in here. And I do love the fact that you could easily go through four or five horses, and we could each go through four or five horses and not land on the same ones at all.
Yes, that's what's so interesting about this race. Each horse has a question they need to answer or something they need to overcome that's in their past performances. And every one of them has potential to turn the corner to become a really, really nice three-year-old filly on the national scene. So I guess that's what makes this race so interesting to me and why I'm looking forward to seeing it so much.
Yeah, it should be fun.
There was a scratch in this race. The bottom horse, 8 Frippet, was scratched.
Okay, that's good information here for us. Let's turn to the Kent Stakes. This is a grade 3 going a mile and an 8th, 3-year-olds, $200,000 on the turf. So we are, of course, all rooting to stay on the turf here. You're going to take out the main track horse. That's 4-horse Rod 2 Rod. This is another one you go a lot of different ways. You guys did a release on Wow What a Summer, who was the 83-1 winner of the Penn Mile last time out, the grade 2 Penn Mile. So certainly comes in career best form. What do you got for me on the Kent Stakes, Chris?
Well, first of all, right off the top, number eight, King of Hollywood, was scratched out of the race. But this race is almost exactly like the Delaware Oaks in that it's got a lot of different angles, a lot of different ways you can approach it, a lot of different things you need to consider. Which, as a matter of fact, one of the neat things about our card today is we have four stakes races in our pick five. And I believe the third race, which is the first leg of the pick five, is a really nice competitive turf race. So the pick five itself, that bet itself, is a really interesting race because all of the stakes races we have are all very similar to the Oaks and the Kent in that there's a lot of different angles you can go, and you can, there's probably a lot of value in there. So it's going to be interesting to see how the pick five plays out. But in the Kent, the horse that I have on top is Main Event. I'm figuring that he hooked some really heavy heads in his last race in the American Turf at Churchill Downs. And he's had two nice efforts previous to that at Gulfstream Park on the grass. So I'm going to go with a Main Event on top, trained by George Weaver and ridden by Eric Cancel. But you can go in any direction. Wow, what a summer. Really stepped it up after being gelded and really improved. Speaking Scout, trained by Graham Ocean. A little incidental fact about Graham Ocean is he's won, seems like, numerous of these greater races we have here at Delaware. He's won the Delaware Handicap once. He's won the Delaware Oaks twice. And he's won the Robert G. Dick I don't know how many times. The one race he hasn't won is this race. So I'm sure he probably wants to get the Kent Stakes Trophy so he can add that to his mantle, which is something that I'm sure he'd be really, really excited to do. And then you got Christophe Clement with Elazar and Uncle Irish stepping in the graded stakes competition for the first time, trained by the leading trainer, Jamie Ness, and ridden by Jamie Rodriguez. So it's a really, really, really power-packed, interesting race, I think.
You mentioned Elazar. We're going to have actually did a little video. It's going to be up on theracingbiz.com a little bit later of a couple horses to watch at a little bit of a price. And in this race, Elazar was that horse. He had kind of a disastrous trip last time in the Pennine Ridge, got away slowly, immediately got steered to the rail, which he didn't like even a little bit, was super rank, still was right there in mid-stretch before emptying out a little bit. I feel like a cleaner trip, and Elazar may be a little bit of a handful in this spot. That was my top choice.
And Clement's always dangerous when he shifts to Delaware, no matter if it's a $32,000 maiden claiming race on the turf or a grade three stakes race on the turf. And he also gets Trevor McCarthy, who knows this grass course really well.
Yep. Trevor's a beast. I want to talk about one other race before we let you go, Chris, just briefly. And that's the Alapocas Run Stakes. That's $100,000, 6 furlongs, 3-year-olds and up. And this could be a graded stakes race. This could be a grade three easily. This is a fantastic group of horses here. There were nine. One of them's out. Defend, the five horses scratched. But the rest of them are there, including multiple graded winner drafted, graded winner Hopeful Treasure, $800,000 earner Where She Told Me to Go, Greeley and Ben, who's won 20 of 33 career starts. I mean, this is a fabulous group of horses your racing office put together for a $100,000 race.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. It's part of the pick five. It's an excellent race. And, you know, also, too, I'm glad you mentioned our racing office. Hats off to them. They did an outstanding job with this entire card today, I think. And this is one of those races. And like you said, it's got a lot of interesting storylines in it. Greeley and Ben, 33 career starts and 20 wins. And you got a horse that's won almost $1 million. A lot of hard-hitting heavy hitters in this sprint race. And it's going to be really interesting to see it. And even the Christiana has got a couple different angles you can go. So the entire card is, I think, an outstanding card. It's a fun card to bet.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. You know, sometimes the Mid-Atlantic stakes cards, sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not, and this one definitely is.
Alapocas is just, I mean, you can't ask much more for a 6-furlong sprint for $100,000. I mean, that's your typical, at least that's the way I remember six furlong stakes sprints being when I was a kid. And it's neat to see it again.
Chris, what is this card? What is it? We got the Oaks this week. We got the Delaware Handicap next week. What does this kind of couple of week period mean to you guys at Delaware Park?
Oh, it's our time to celebrate everything that's great about Delaware racing. Little things like Trevor McCarthy coming back to Delaware, where he was, you know, he was practically raised here because his father Mike was a leading rider here in the late 90s and early 2000s, and he graduated from a local high school right down the road from here, Alexis I. DuPont High School. Carol Cedeno is another good example. She's a six-time leading rider, and she's got a mount in the Delaware Oaks, so it would be aboard morning matches. So it would be extremely neat to see, you know, someone who lives in Delaware actually win one of our big races. So that's what it kind of means to me, at least, and I think it means that to a lot of other people. We're very proud of our racing product here in Delaware and also larger, the Mid-Atlantic region. And it's just our opportunity to show everybody, to show the world, to showcase to the world everything good that's about Delaware Park, the horses, the trainers. And I know Graham Ocean feels the same way. He really looks forward to this weekend. I talk to him every year right around this time. And he always just says, he always remembers, he always goes back to the 1997 Delaware Handicap when he won with Power Play, on how, you know, it was such a, it's a moment he'll never forget in his career. And he has told me on numerous occasions that it helped make him the trainer that he is today by winning that race. So it represents a whole lot of different things, but the biggest thing it represents is everything good that we do here at Delaware when it comes to thoroughbred horse racing, I think. And it gives us an opportunity to showcase some of our people that are affiliated with Delaware Racing and in the larger area, their talents and their talents. Got a little shooken up there a little bit there at the end. I apologize. Just because I grew up in the area, and it means a lot to me too as a fan of Delaware Racing.
Well, I think that's a good place to end it, and the emotion in your voice tells the story. So, Chris Sobosinski, thank you so much, and look forward to seeing you later on today.
Great. Looking forward to seeing you guys today, and thank you for having me on, Frank.
It was our pleasure. Nick Hahn, we'll kick it back to you. That was Chris Sobosinski, Delaware Oaks, coming up this afternoon. The stakes action at Delaware, the first post of the day is 12:30. Stakes action kicks off with race four. That's at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, Chris Sobosinski actually, at least at the beginning part of the interview, sounded a lot like Rich Glaser, and it's good to hear he has his heart as well, his love of racing up there, Delaware Park, beautiful paddock up there. Frank, just got a few moments here before we get a Derby Bill. Maybe just the latest on the HISA update, as you've been following it on the racingbiz.com through this week, and maybe just a quick point of where we are and maybe even what today means in terms of its implementation.
Well, today, you know, this has been very briefly a hairy week because registration deadline was yesterday. The actual implementation of the first part of HISA, which is the racetrack safety program, which includes things like whip rules and claiming rules, but also track maintenance rules, that starts today. But earlier this week, early in the week, the authority itself, the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority, put out a release saying everything's going great. We're up to almost 40,000 registrations. Both horsemen and horses have to be registered. So they said everything's coming together. The following day, four senators released a letter they had sent to the FTC and the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority saying, basically, what are you guys doing? You have this crazy, chaotic implementation process that's making it impossible for horsemen to, understand what they're doing, what they're agreeing to. You know, how have you guys managed to screw this up so badly? The following day, The states of Louisiana and West Virginia, along with some horsemen's groups, along, interestingly enough, with the Jockeys Guild, filed suit against HISA, claiming it's unconstitutional, claiming it's illegal, claiming a whole bunch of things in the Western District of Louisiana. So it's been a hairy week here with HISA. Nevertheless, as I understand it, if you want a race starting today, you need to be registered. And I believe that some tracks, there may be, some tracks are talking about kind of a good faith exception. Like if you say you really are registering, but you haven't quite done it, maybe they're going to give you a day or two. But you're going to need to be registered. And, there's been a lot of talk among some that they wouldn't register, that, you know, for various reasons. And the rubber's about to meet the road. I mean, if people are serious about not registering, they're going to probably start seeing their horses scratched or unable to enter.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts here. I've never been a big fan of a lot of quick change, and I think, you know, they need to look at and have been in some instances doing some phased approvals of what they're seeking. But it does feel a little bit like Y2K, doesn't it? It's January 1st, 2000, and we don't know exactly what the repercussions are going to be of this implementation. But, yeah, we'll be following it here the next several weeks. Frank, great job.
Hey, Nick, let me just jump in very quickly on what you just said. If we all remember, we were all frantic that Y2K was going to lead to the crash of everything. You know, anything involving computers was going to crash and we're all going to die, and nothing happened in the end. So Let's hope it is Y2K all over again, and we will certainly be following it on the Racing Biz.
Yep, absolutely. Good job there, Frank. We're going to reach out here. Good luck today at Delaware Park, too. Wish I actually gave that a long, serious thought about driving up there this holiday weekend, but a little bit too far, long commute for me. But good luck today. We're going to reach out here to Derby Bill Watson, and of course, Derby Bill become a feature on this show. What is his intro music this week? It wasn't really hard to predict. We get to tie in the Delaware Park. But Derby Bill, bad to the bone. Delaware Park, a big day today. Of course, you got the Delaware Destroyer here, George Thoroughbred. I'm sure that had something to do with your handicapping of the Thoroughbreds today.
Well, Nick, I'm from D.C., and the last guy that crossed to Delaware successfully was George Washington. Trying to do something for the degenerates and get the gamblers across the Delaware River and back down to Virginia with some money in their pockets. That would be a goal.
Yeah. The rest of us.
George Thorogood is probably the only guy I know in Delaware.
Yeah. My first track was Delaware Park. A beautiful place. Went to see it a week after graduating college and figured out I got my degree in the wrong field.
I personally don't know George Thorogood, but I know one bourbon, one scotch, and one beer.
Yeah, absolutely. Might know it a little bit more this holiday weekend. Be safe out there on the roads, everybody, by the way. Be careful out there. There's a lot of people traveling this weekend. Let's talk about some traveling down the Delaware stretch. We just heard from Chris Sobosinski and Frank Vespi about the seven horse field, actually originally eight, scratched down. Republique, of course, I am all behind this horse. Big fans of the Fradkins. They're going to be there today. Hopefully they'll be celebrating in the winner's circle as their filly makes her third career start. Are there any horses that you prefer other than Republique in the Delaware Oaks today?
Well, I got a minor like for obviously Trevor McCarthy's coming down from New York to ride the favorite Shotgun Hottie, and everybody likes a Shotgun Hottie. But the New York horse shipping down is always done well at Delaware Park. And the other one, Chardonnay, if you remember, ran at Colonial Downs, the maiden race at Colonial Downs, and has moved up the ladder and improved lately. And 6-1 is a nice price on that for Michael Stedman. I think Chardonnay. I'm not a big wine drinker, so I'm gonna try this one's got a little bit of value in it. I mean, it's definitely the favorite's like 5-2. It might drift up to 3-1 with your horse, Republic, shipping up from Gulfstream, and just see if he can take to the. I mean, Sappy, Joseph Sappy's his own in Gulfstream this year, so we'll see what he does when he ships north, because he hasn't done well in Kentucky. So we'll see what he does at Delaware in the Oaks today. And 4-1's a good price for you, Nick.
Yeah, no, I absolutely will relish that. I love that price, 4-1. I even like the prices more in the Kent, the Grade 3, $200,000 for three-year-olds. Of course, we know this race because of the three-year-old turf connection. Used to be such a prominent race in the road to the Virginia Derby. We see, wow, what a summer. Wow, what an impact this horse made back in June running in the Penn Mile. Paying actually had this horse in a pick three. I still can't believe I actually hit that thing. 83-1. This horse wins the Penn Mile at a big price. But I'm even looking at a longer horse here, a horse by the name of XY Time, who broke his maiden at Colonial Downs by 9 lengths last summer. Comes back, has been racing well with J.D. Acosta aboard. 15-1 in the morning line. Against some horses, George Weaver's horse, a little bit suspect, a big favorite, 5-2. It might be a little vulnerable here. I'm looking for some long shots here in the Kent.
Definitely a nice turf race. Just hope the rain holds off till 3 o'clock. These nasty thunderstorms in the afternoon try to catch people. Trevor's riding Elzer, who's ran in Ireland, and then he ran in actually got a horrible start out of the gate in the stakes race. What was it, the Penn? Maybe the Penn. No, it was a Pigney Iron Quinn, and pronounced that wrong, but it was at Belmont. So yeah. For this New York, for Clement, and you know what Clement does on the turf. He's just a monster. Your XY Time's intriguing. That huge monster win down here on a Dairy Queen type race, cheap, but he's definitely stepped up each race. He's in dangerous, and the price is just gorgeous for you. This one's full of Colonial Ties. This one, what was it, Elia? This one's a perfect prerequisite with Wow, What a Summer. I mean, Wow, What a Summer. You mentioned ran 3 times at Colonial Downs, I believe. Ran 3 times at Colonial Downs before that 83-1 victory in Penn National when I was under the weather and could not bet the race. So, I was pretty upset about that because, I like to tie in some Colonial horses. And when you get some value like that, that was a monster value. Glad you hooked up with that one. Tyler Connor rode perfectly for James Lawrence. You're not getting a lot of respect, 8-1. They're putting him at 8-1 after that big monster Grade 2 win. So a very interesting race. Tommy B out on the outside for Brad Cox will get bet heavily. He'll be the favorite by post. But, hopefully we'll get a little value out of these other horses here. I'm using about 3.
Okay. Yeah.
Using a Laser for sure. Trevor McCarthy for sure on a Laser. And then Wow, What a Summer. I'm going to throw him in there. And then Main Event with Eric Council hasn't been doing too well up north. So see what he does at Delaware. But like you said, it's this will pay for some July 4th kebabs on the grill if you hit it.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, What a Summer broke his maiden through disqualification at Colonial Downs. So interesting race there. That's a big race. It's Churchill Downs today, 5:47. The post time for the Stephen Foster Grade 2, $750,000 stakes race. Mandaloon, who eventually was named the Kentucky Derby winner, comes back to Churchill Downs here. Actually, his first start since that race at Churchill Downs. he's a very familiar face in Michael Stidham's proxy. Probably talk to Stidham next week on Off to the Races as part of our live coverage out of Colonial next week. Last Samurai, this is a horse that went through the Southwest and Arkansas Derby. Did not make the Kentucky Derby field, but a big winner. I know you like John Court here. This is a horse that won at Colonial Downs last summer. So gets Dwayne Lucas, the new trainer, actually, for this horse. What do you think about the Stephen Foster, a mile and an eighth on the dirt tonight?
Yeah, that was an interesting thing there for Willie Horton's Racing, who races Summit Colonial Downs, too. So the switch of trainers to Dwayne, you know, it was a little bit shocker. I think they had an argument or something, and it wasn't a pleasant breakup like normal. It was like a divorce. So John Court's my age, you know. I mean, when he just 61-year-old jockey, I mean, Jesus, he was rides and rides and rides, and Last Samurai just stunned at 12 or 13 to 1 last time at Oaklawn in the Grade Two. I mean, the horse wins at Colonial Downs. He wins all over the place. I mean, Oaklawn, this horse has been everywhere. The Mandolin's, you know, very tough competition there. Proxy's another one in here. You'll like Joe Rosario up on coming down to ride Proxy. And then off of just a big closer for Michael Stedman there. So probably use all three of them in a box and see if I can get enough money to pay for my Joey Cheswick hot dog bet.
Okay. What is that hot dog bet?
Under 74 and a half.
Under, okay, you're betting the under in the hot dog eating contest. Great July 4th tradition. Derby Bill, thanks for your picks. Good luck today at Delaware and at Churchill Downs, also racing up at Woodbine, and just some great venues. Hopefully weather won't be a factor. We'll talk to you next week. We'll have the opening day PPs when we discuss horse racing next week and those stakes races at Colonial.
Oh, yeah, four stakes races at Colonial's opening day and a Delaware Handicap next week. So a lot to look forward to.
Great. Derby Bill joining us on Off to the Races. Want to thank everybody who's been part of the show today. Larry Ravelli joined us. Good luck to him. First trip to Virginia. We hope that it's enjoyable for him. Frank Vespi talked to Chris Sobosinski. Of course, we just spoke with Derby Bill. Sorry, Daryl. We'll get you on next week on the show from Colonial Downs. Great opening there. Make your plans. Opening day, Colonial Downs, Monday, July 11th, 1:45, first race post time. We'll talk to you next week on Off to the Races, our post time next Saturday at 10 o'clock.